From Mendocino County Public Broadcasting, this is the KZYX News for Wednesday, November 6th. I'm Sarah Reith. The Board of Supervisors held its meeting in the Parish Hall of St. Anthony's Church in the village of Mendocino yesterday for a set of hearings on topics that most concerned coastal constituents. But a letter to William Johnson, President and CEO of PG&E, was relevant to people all over the county. The letter begins by informing Johnson that the county has spent $250,000 planning for and responding to power outages, with the expectation of spending $1.5 million in modifications and upgrades to its facilities. The 3-page document lists complaints ranging from information that was inaccurate in every particular to the undue burden on vulnerable populations and the loss of food and income for people living on tight budgets. Dialysis patients were forced to travel to the one open clinic in Fort Bragg or rely on hospitals for their treatment. Water and sewer services were compromised in many water districts where generators were not available. And many residents, especially on the coast and in Anderson Valley, didn't have internet, which made it even harder to find out what was going on. Supervisor Dan Jurdy alluded to the emotional toll of the losses.
The one thing that's really impossible to document in a letter to PG&E is, you know, the tears in someone's eyes that opened up their store and, you know, lost thousands of dollars of merchandise. I mean, how do you capture that in a letter to PG&E?
Marianne Petrillo, CEO of West Business Development Center, used her experience during the shutoff to gather information about small business owners.
I, like many other people, had no generator, so I, like many other people, went around to firehouses, community centers, city hall to look for places where I could charge my devices so that I could get the information I needed. While I was at these places, I came to realize so many of the people who were in there were small business owners. And I spent time talking to each and every one of them that I could to understand just how much they were losing every day that the power was out. And it ranged anywhere for a small business owner in our community and a micro enterprise owner in our community, anywhere from $500 a day upwards beyond $2,000 a day. And I think that's really important for us to consider when we're talking to PG&E and when we're talking to the county. Our small businesses have small margins. Okay, 5 days out with no resources and no money coming in can mean the closure of their business. And once a business closes here, we know because of the work that we do at West with 400 businesses around this county, they're almost impossible to get people to buy that business from that owner. So that means they're gone and they're out of the community.
On Albion Ridge Road, there was no cell service and no landline. Leonardo Bowers told the board about his neighbor, who had just been discharged from a hospital and needed to fill a prescription, but his pharmacy was out of power. Tammy Moss Chandler, the head of Health and Human Services, reported that while there was not an increase in demand for hospital beds,
We certainly know that people who are on all kinds of electrical devices had challenges, whether they were on CPAP machines or needing oxygen replacement. And there was a huge effort. That was actually the biggest surge we saw in the emergency departments, where people who had their first 48-hour supply of oxygen to make it through this, but when it grew into a 3-day event, an event much longer than people could anticipate, that there started to get some concerns that impacted the emergency departments. And we actually had daily calls or twice daily calls with hospital CEOs, the medical chiefs of the hospitals, as well as the oxygen supply companies themselves that Jen Banks put together at the hospitals to assure we had enough supply coming here. But what PG&E really broke down were those modes of communication for people to get that. And even knowing when there was a supply of oxygen, that it was so hard even for those oxygen companies to deliver to homes at the pace that was needed, when typically they wouldn't need to be delivering this much oxygen if people had electricity.
Karen Bowers asked the board to take a stand on public ownership of the private utility.
And I wonder if there was an initiative on the countywide ballot to ask the Board of Supervisors to pursue public ownership, if the board would in fact go forward with that, unlike what happened with Measure V.
One after another, members of the public filed to the podium with suggestions about energy independence. One of them was Amy Wynn of Wynn Coastal Planning and Biology.
if there's a way for the county to incentivize microgrids so that we have, I love Sonoma Clean Power, but if there's a way where we could have maybe small solar farms around the county somehow and create our own power, that would be cool.
But Clyde McNamee observed that the most recent power outage illustrated widespread dependence on fossil fuels.
What I witnessed in Fort Bragg was that many of us who live in rural areas already have generators. And immediately after the power went out, we started to see gas stations close along the coast. And we started to see long, long lines backing up of people trying to either top up their tanks on their cars. But they were also showing up with 4 or 5 5-gallon cans to fill up with gasoline. So immediately, gasoline consumption on the coast doubled or tripled in many cases, at the same time that the supply was being constricted.
Supervisor Ted Williams noted the irony, while thanking Deputy CEO Steve Dunnicliffe for working to get fuel into the rural parts of the 5th District.
There were people in Comanche who didn't have enough fuel to get to Fort Bragg to fuel up. I will say I think it's ironic that in preparing for an adverse effect that's resulting from climate change, we're talking about stockpiling the very fuel that's caused climate change.
For KZYX News, I'm Sarah Reif. For all our local news with photos and more, visit kzyx.org.